I was in a meeting this week at Gordon Hospital, and it was sharing time for the volunteer chaplains. And as demonstrated earlier there, I may not have all my details exactly right, but I want to repeat a story that was shared in that meeting. There was a man who did not believe in God. And so the chaplain sat to visit, and to avoid religious abuse, you let the patient sort of guide the conversation. But as the conversation developed, the chaplain decided to tell a story. And he told the story of a Midwestern snowstorm. And in this storm was a lot of cold weather that was supposed to come. Heavy, deep snow and high winds. Out on the farm, there was a large flock of blackbirds. And the man knew that the storm was coming. He knew that he had a very large barn. He had plenty of corn for food. But his difficulty was in telling the birds what he had to offer. In the story, he goes outside and he tries to call the birds. And he says, "Come, birds, come. I have a warm place for you to stay. Come through the doors of the barn. I have plenty of food here for you." He motioned with his hands, and the birds just flew away. So he calls for the birds. "Here, birdie, birdie, birdie. Here, birdie, birdie, birdie. Please come. I have shelter for you. I have food for you. I have safety for you. Will you please come?" The birds didn't come. And the chaplain said to the man that did not believe in God, "You know, the farmer decided the only way that he could get the message across to the birds would be to become a bird." Now, as my friend was telling this story, a bird showed up and pecked on the window. That is the Christmas story. Humanity is hungry, not just for righteousness, but for goodness, for life, and for hope. We are searching for things that don't really satisfy the soul. Our world is not a safe place. Now, God has a wonderful place called heaven. In the beginning, He created the earth in all of its perfect beauty. But because of sin, every good gift has either been modified or destroyed. God knows what He has to offer in restoration. We call it eternity. We add to that immortality. And then we have a wish list of things that really are more than just a wish list. It's literal with God. A place where there is perfect harmony and beauty. No sadness, no pain, no hurt. All the food you want to eat. In the safety of the courtyards of heaven. God knows all that He has to offer. He told the story not in full detail, years ago through the sanctuary service. He told it through prophets and prophetesses. What's plural for a lady prophet, Bruce? Prophetesses. Okay, you get the idea. He told the story, but it still was not complete. The only way he could really complete the story to humanity was to come down and become one of us and to walk on the earth and to communicate the wonderful truth of what he has to offer. That's the story of Jesus. That's the story that we now call the story of Christmas. If you will look with me in Luke chapter 2, there's a wonderful verse in verse 11. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It was God's intention to communicate to mankind all of his blessings and glory and of eternity through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to glorify the Father, to tell us who he is and what he wants to do for us. And during this time of the year, it is a wonderful time to thank God for coming to the earth, being born, growing up as one of us, and then also reflecting on the fact that he died for us. He not only lived for us, but he died for us. But praise God, he came back to life, rose again. And the continuing part of the Christmas story is that he's preparing to return to the earth and to claim his family and take us to be where he is. Now, can I tell you another story as we close today? It is my favorite story. Not biblically connected by verse, but certainly in thought and principle. And through the years, this story has changed names and places, and some embellishment here and there has occurred. Peggy, you may have heard this story at Camp Alamisco because it's where I first heard it 30 something years ago. That's all I want to say about that. A little boy standing in front of the mirror. He does not like what he sees. He's so disappointed. He's living in an orphanage. He's one of the oldest children there. It's Christmas time. And usually around Christmas time is when children go and visit prospective homes. And he's looking in the mirror, trying to figure out, why is it that no one likes me? Why is it that I am never chosen to be someone's son? He's been praying the same prayer. His prayer that he repeats in the evening is always the same. Dear God, please let me have a home, a real home. I would like to have a real daddy and a real mother. I would love to have a Christmas tree with presents with my name on it. Maybe a brick house. Maybe a house, God, with a sidewalk. I would like to have love. I want someone to love me. He prays that prayer. The house mother, Mrs. Brown, she hears him pray that prayer each evening. Now he's standing in front of the mirror. And he says, I think I know what the problem is. I have bright red hair. I have real thick glasses. And I have sticky out teeth. What am I going to do? As often is the case, we don't like the way we look. And so he decides to do something about it. He goes outside, and in those days they were burning coal. He knows where the coal ashes are, and they're black, jet black. A couple of handfuls of soot rubbed through his hair definitely changes the color. He took off his glasses. Now, I can't demonstrate this, but he threw them down and just took his foot and just ground the glass up. Can't do much about his teeth. But he looks in the mirror again and he says, I think it may work. I think it may work. Just a little while before, Mrs. Brown had come up to his room and she said, now, Robert, in the morning, we are going to make a visit. He knows what the visit is about. He crawls into bed. Then there's a knock on the door. And it's the house mother, Mrs. Brown. She comes in to talk to Robert. She's not happy with what she sees. She says, Robert, what have you done? Look at your hair. Look at these sheets. Look at the pillow. And he suddenly realizes this is not going exactly the way he wanted. She jerks him out of bed and makes him take a shower, and he scrubs, and he finally gets out most all of the soot, and she finds some old glasses for him to wear, and she says, now you go to sleep and don't you do anything. He has prayed the same prayer. But he lays there thinking, God, I don't see how it's going to come to pass. The next morning after breakfast, they ride in the orphanage station wagon, and she's coaching Robert. She says, now, Robert, this is a very nice couple. They would like to have a child. I think it might be something really good for you. He notices the direction of travel, and she's going into a very nice neighborhood. She pulls over alongside a house, and the first he notices is that it is a brick house, and it has a sidewalk. He can see through the picture glass window, there is some Christmas tree lights there. Hand in hand, they walk up the steps to the door, and as she rings the doorbell, his heart is beating. And the door opens, and there stands the tallest red-headed man he has ever seen. And he has sticky-out teeth. He calls the name Elaine and he says, Elaine, come here. You won't believe this. And Robert looks up and he looks into the face of a woman that has the thickest glasses he's ever seen. And they loved Robert and he had a home a happy home from then on. It's the story of Christmas. God meeting the needs that we have, whether it be for a girlfriend, whether it be for someone that has red hair and thick glasses and sticky out teeth. God became one of us to meet our needs. It happened a long time ago, but the result is still in effect to this day. I hope you have a wonderful week.